third hour of Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. So we're talking to Pat Privilege, and I set up where I wanted to go on this segment about this move out here in the subconsciousness and in the consciousness of basically taking biblical research, applying it to races and so forth, and then realizing with, I don't want to get off into a jag here, but there's people right now that are cranked up so and wound up so tight about racial stuff. You know, I got into a big argument with some black guys in the last few days over just big picture stuff and the rest of it and the anti-white stuff going on in the universities and so forth. People are really, really wound up tight. But you got to realize there's this whole thing where this black Hebrew Israelite ideology has really permeated a large swath of the black population in certain areas of the country to where they believe they're the real Israelites. And then they believe that the white race is basically the seed of the serpent from Genesis 3:15. So let's kind of hash some of that out, Pat, because you know, and I set it up with the Rh negative bloodlines, with the Basques being the most high concentration of Rh.
And then you got the Celts right behind them.
Right, right.
And I'm Celtic, so maybe I'm, you know, seed of the devil. But it's also funny that, you know, their Egyptian rulers, they were seeds of the devil. They had the Rh negative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was just sent you a link. The Irish have their old stories and myths around Egyptian, like, folklore. So there's probably a connection between all the Basque and the Celts and the Moors, because you know, you got the Berbers. They're the other ones,
yeah.
And they're in North Africa. That's Tunisia. That's the Punic Wars. You know, that's all of history for, you know, North Africa has been these Rh negative white people.
Yeah, well, and then you get into the presidents. A lot of our presidents, as far as we can go back, a lot of them were Rh negative and so forth. And then it gets into the royal families and so forth and so on. And then there's a whole wing of, you know, YouTubers who are not like black that really look into this, and they think that basically Rh negative, certain Rh negatives are basically alien to the planet and so forth and so on. And they were,
that's a whole nother psyop.
Yeah.
You know, the alien psyop in and of itself. And I thought personally they were going to go with the angle of when Blue Beam, you know, brings down New Jerusalem from the skies and out of the clouds, like me and you talked about years ago. And they were doing the hoax in the fake cities in the sky. And I was thinking when they do that, they're going to say that Obama is descendant from the aliens. But now I don't know what they're going to do.
Well, you know, for a time, you read about all the stuff about Obama being cloned from King Tut's DNA. And, I mean, there was so much out there with Obama, who he was. The whole thing with the Black Pharaoh that Tex Mars and others really fleshed out when Obama first came on the scene. The fight whether he was this Indonesian cult leader's kid, whether
he was a man. If there was a city of Manchuria in Indonesia, he was born there.
Yeah, well, he was raised by his nanny was a tranny. so much weird stuff with Obama, and then Michelle with the latest ding-a-ling flop when she was going out of her daughter's dorm or whatever up there at Harvard. Very weird family there.
Do look like Michelle, though, so you got to know that.
Yeah. Well, the one daughter, the older one, looks a lot like him, I think, kind of as well.
I thought they looked like Michelle, which means to me that Michelle was the father. That's all I was saying.
It's. I mean, you don't know. I mean, that whole thing was a massive psychological warfare operation on the psyche of a large swath of our population. The rainbow lighting on the White House. I mean, when you look at that in the history of
that. Let's get into the triggering that's going on. They're not just triggering the left anymore. They're triggering the right, right? You know, they're trying to do anything to get the right upset, which is very hard to do, right? In general, they're more civil.
Well, I mean, Antifa.
They're trying to do anything with the news that sounds even. Remember, I sent you a tweet that showed it's just spreading into the culture now.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I was kind of in and out of a nap today. Check this out. Now, Alex Jones, okay, he's been built up to be the king kind of whipping boy from the late night comedians. They make shows about the guy. Alec Baldwin talks about him on Saturday Night Live. So he's been brought up to be the counterbalance to the fake CNN, MSNBC, and even partially Fox News. So Jones is the big counterbalance now, where he's actually being mentioned by name by Hillary during the campaign and so forth. So he's been leveled up as a counterbalance to that. Now think about Jones not as a reporter or a guy that breaks things down, and he's a highly intelligent dude, one of the most highly intelligent out there. But think about where he's meant to lead us down the road versus where, the left kind of ideological Antifa professor, Marxist, Rachel Maddow types are supposed to lead us. And then you'll realize why they brought him up to speed, because it's kosher. It's a kosher civil war. You see what I'm saying? Between where you can go and be kind of safe in alternative media circles versus where the idiot crowd on the left. And so this is a kosher kind of civil war they're putting us in, where we're never going to fight against, you know, the ones that really pull the lever between these two. And that's what's so interesting to watch about Jones. And I listen to him regularly just because I want to know where he's anointed to supposedly take us on that side of the house.
Well, whenever it gets out of hand, he just deletes the video.
Yeah, that's what's interesting as well.
Whether it's Flat Earth with Eddie Bravo or arguing about Jews and the Holocaust with David Duke.
Yeah, well, the Jonestown Massacre with Jones and Duke. Yeah, that was
Frank that was from North Carolina.
Yeah. Frank, he triggered that whole deal. It's interesting. But the race, you know, I got a clip I want to play real quick. Mr. Producer, get number 12 ready, and I want to triangulate off this clip. Now, this is one of my favorite old guys. He's a good analyst, but I don't agree with necessarily where he's going with this. But he starts off talking about how fuel is going to be something right here in the near, you know, future with these storms. But then he's going to get into this race stuff. Let's do clip 12 real quick, and I want to talk about it afterwards.
Understand how things work economically. Yeah. It is my opinion that in the coming weeks, that fuel is going to be a big, big issue. Monstrous. Now, here's the situation as of today. Let's see, one of the president's spokespersons came out and said that so many barrels were released from the strategic reserves. Now, why would that be? Well, because a lot of the refineries down in the Houston area have shut down because there's no way to access and operate those refineries. There's a lot of flooding going on in Louisiana as well. So, there is a lot of refineries in Louisiana as well. So, you can have a barrel of oil being sold for a dollar, essentially. But if you cannot refine it into gasoline and diesel, guess what? You get a big problem. So, it's starting to make me wonder. Let's see. Last year, a couple of years ago, we had the BLM stuff going on, where it was a constant push and pull, kinetic effect of trying to start off some sort of civil war through races. Fail. And then, of course, you had the American version of ISIS on the soft hand, if you will. You know, guys running around with their little black flags and little black masks, little black clothes, instigating and attacking people and trying to create some sort of race war. Fail. So, what do you have left? And what can you do in order to, in essentially cripple an entire nation. You use fuel, because fuel affects everybody, every single person in this country and abroad. Now, you might think that's a conspiracy theory all you want, but let's do some other math. All of these big elites, all of these big money players have put down put options. They're betting against the stock market that there's going to be some sort of, let's say, crash, or there's going to be a decline or a massive decline in the stock market by October of this year. The Rothschilds have pulled out a lot of their money out of U.S. stocks and U.S. interests. Why would that be? Because they already see what's coming. If you affect the fuel industries in the manufacturing of gasoline and diesel, guess what? You can cripple the entire nation. Because what is the first thing that's going to be affected? Food. That's a fact. Because if you can't have trucking and you have interruption of fuel, meaning diesel and gasoline, you can't transport food from one part of the nation to the other part of the nation.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. We're getting the gist of it. Now, when he talks about the race war fail, the civil unrest fail, I say not so easy. I say they've thrown the rock in the pond and the ripples are going out. But I say it's too early to say fail when they're talking about destabilization, especially on the racial and ideological levels with the Antifa kind of Marxist crowd. This stuff
they were
doesn't
just
happen.
Inception. That was just they were playing the Inception game.
Yeah, I still think that the ripples are going out, and I don't think this at each other's. We're at each other's throats with the racial thing is going away. I don't think it was a fail yet. I think when you take certain things out of the equation and you take the certain creature comforts out of the equation, I think these things are going to come to a pretty disgusting head. Now, everybody that talks about Pat, and you hear Jones talk about, Houston brought us together. You see this mantra in the alternative media. Houston, it brought us together. These things bringing us together. That's because there's still external kind of, help me out fixtures in place. What happens on a mass scale when those things aren't there? Are we all still going to be together then? That's
the
big question.
Thing.
Go ahead.
When it all comes to a head and we do get angry and action is the next step.
Yeah.
Well, we need an enemy. And they made sure that our enemy was real local. They gave us a bunch of different enemies. And while, everything's good and the lights are on, our enemy is existential. It's ISIS. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's over the seas. It's intangible. But
or it's miles away in the next neighborhood over.
Your face. Now they've brought it home and they said, no, it's the black next door, it's the white guy next door, it's the Muslims down the street, and they've walled off their whole like corner of the city. While all this is true, we have to clean up our backyards and get rid of illegals and other people who aren't going to assimilate in the culture. The problem is they're not the source.
It's very crazy to deal with what we're watching now. My problem is this: I think that, like we talked about earlier, with the grid down scenario, but there's so much out here with the where is it? I'm trying to find this with the bioweapon.
What you were just talking about with the grid down in Europe, I thought it was going to happen earlier when they took over Ukraine, but that's just setting us up for, at some point they can cut off the energy supply from Russia to Europe. I thought they were going to use that to crash the euro earlier. Now the euro already looks like it's tipping, and they might do that soon. Coming into winter, they're going to want Russian energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you have everything going on over here, like he just said, the Rothschilds and everything pulling out.
Yeah, now, I sent you this earlier, and I don't know if you looked at it. Now, this is what I was looking for. The 1950 Operation Ocean Spray, okay? Now, this had to do with basically making a bunch of people sick on the West Coast, okay? And it had to do with red balloons. Then in 1984, 33 years later, the song 99 Red Balloons comes out, okay? Now, 33 years later is 2017, okay? And so we're seeing this, and I'm seeing, remember The Stand with Stephen King, okay? Now this is big Stephen King kind of worship year, and this is from Enter the Stars. Mr. Producer, let's do clip 13, and this is going to cover the bio angle. Let's rip through that real quick.
Stephen King worship. One thing is for certain. This year has featured more Stephen King films than any other year to date. The one you just saw is releasing on Netflix in a few weeks, and it is called Gerald's Game. And as you just saw, it features an eclipse. Gerald's Game, GG77. We are in the Hebrew year 5777. And yes, we did experience an eclipse. Other Stephen King films, It with the Clown, as well as The Dark Tower. And those are just the three off the top of my head. And I Am the Doorway, a 15-minute short film about a man, a disabled former astronaut, and his terrifying account as he undergoes a change after being exposed to an extraterrestrial mutagen during a space mission to Venus. What is going on? Well, they are now prepping us for one of the worst flu seasons on record. Yes, and they're blaming it on Australia, and they are saying that it is coming to North America. And Stephen King was all about The Stand and these different virus strains, as we showed you in the last video. Here's the CNN report talking about this flu outbreak that they say is on its way to the Northern Hemisphere from Australia. Now, we also have reports of a record flu season in China. And you're not hearing much about this, but China has experienced 200% death rate. Hundreds of people dying of the flu this season.
Well, hopefully our old people like my parents that get suckered into taking a shot every year don't all get clipped this year. So we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
After Trump had Sessions come out and say, hey, we're ending this DACA thing, it's unconstitutional, et cetera, et cetera. And then every left winger and part of the right wingers, the controlled neoconservative gang of the right wingers, basically all had this mantra to call Trump cruel. Okay, let's do clip 26. We got 26.
President Obama, who enacted the original policy, called President Trump's decision cruel.
President Obama's right. It's cruel.
We are talking here about a cruelty of quite a magnitude.
Look, at the end of the day, this may go down as the most cowardly and cruel move ever by a president in the modern United States. And we're just going to go and cruelly just take them away from this life.
To end the DACA program is one of the most cruel and ugly decisions ever made in the modern history of this country by a president.
Today's actions by the president and Jeff Sessions is nothing short than cruel as well as compassionless.
So you have a president needlessly tormenting hundreds of thousands of hardworking Americans with a cruel and capricious policy.
Joe Biden has just tweeted, brought by parents, these children had no choice in coming here. Now they'll be sent to countries they've never known. Cruel, not America.
All the statement reads, it's wrong because it's cruel to send these young people to places many of them have never lived and do not know.
Only in a cruel nation do you take 800,000 documented people and make them undocumented.
The bejeebers out of all these kids. In other words, there's a cruelty there.
And it's a signal to say, I can do something that a lot of people think is cruel.
This is one of the most cruel acts we've seen in the presidency in a long time.
This was a cruel, inhumane, and unnecessary move.
Trump administration's latest immigration policy move has been called cruel.
It's a very cruel and unfortunate decision to end the program.
As kids, his critics say the decision was cruel.
The decision by the Trump administration is cruel.
This amounts to like cruel and unusual punishment to like innocent children.
Immigration advocates say the move to cut them off is cruel. But
a cruel decision, cold-hearted.
As an undocumented immigrant and a DACA beneficiary, the announcement today was cruel.
seen these things, how the news media just spouts the same thing across every channel. Even some of the comedians on late night do this. But this is a coordinated, the Marxists, basically the Jewish Jesuit axis, that this is how they can spew a talking point across the Catholic left and of course, the Jewish mafia sector and everything they own, to where they could all use the same word, cruel, about an unconstitutional edict from President Obama that never went through the legislature, and so forth and so on. And then they can just go through and attack the president and the attorney general as being cruel. But that's the thing about this whole DACA thing. Look, Trump meets with Pelosi and Schumer, goes right around the neocon Republicans, the rhinos, and just says, okay, we'll talk about this. I'm going to send this to the Congress. But the same thing, I wanted to bring this up. The wall and then all the DACA stuff, everything now because of the weather, the debt ceiling. And I covered the debt ceiling in the last couple weeks. This has all basically been thrown into a tailspin by the weather operations against the country. Now, no, depending on who we think did it, but now the debt ceiling is wide open. Hey, the hell with the debt ceiling. We'll go into debt because we're into trouble with these storms. And now the whole DACA thing and everything because of the storms now is throwing everything basically into a tailspin. Now, is Trump in on the agenda? Is Trump a secret Democrat, Pat? Like, you know, others have, you've actually asked me, hey, is Trump, do you think he's secretly a New York lefty and he's playing this? And so when you come back, tell me what you think. Keep that in mind, because that's what some people are saying, that Trump's in on the weather against us, and so that way we can bust the debt ceiling, so forth and so on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
NutraMedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprise 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
So Trump pulls out of the climate change thing on the surface. Okay, we're out of Paris. Okay, we covered this earlier. Okay, they bust a bunch of hurricanes to make, oh my God, climate change is real. All the Twitter bots are all over the place. Now, with the carnage of all the damage, the debt ceiling, Trump goes to Schumer and Pelosi. They all have a big meeting at the White House, and he's like, yeah, well, We're gonna go past the debt ceiling, and I'll support it. Blah blah blah. The Rhino Republicans act like they're pissed. Trump's resort Mar-a-Lago, it's on the East Coast. I guess it might not get hit now. Maybe it'll remain intact. We'll see. Richard Branson's place out there gets flattened. The place where Obama was hanging out after he left office. So the thing is, compartmentalization of these weather warfare operations. Is Trump in the know? Is he not in the know? But with the climate change, the debt ceiling, Trump is he, like you were saying off the air, is he aligned with Ivanka ideologically, Jared and Ivanka? He's a New York lib, or is he this middle of the road? I want to save my country and bring it back from the cliff. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know that it's even like that. I would say even if he wanted to save the country, bringing his family in doesn't necessarily make him a lefty lib still. Yeah. See, if he's stayed consistent with his rhetoric since the 80s, which he has, then he's never really been a lefty. He's just maybe played the role because he's worked with how many lefty Jews in finance. You know, how long has he been dealing with those kind of characters that he has to appease them? You know, maybe his sentiments are, I prefer Americans, Westerners, Europeans over Chinese industry. You know, that's just like, maybe that's where his comfort is. Maybe it's not quite as noble as we'd hope it to be. Maybe it's still self-serving, whatever. Doesn't matter. Does it help us? Potentially. And then to what severity is it that he's firing everybody and getting his family into power, a bad or a good thing? I'll let you decide. I haven't decided. You know, It could be bad because, you know, maybe we don't want Ivanka making decisions in the White House. But maybe he can't trust anybody. Maybe that's why he has his own Trump resorts across from the White House, because he can't have a private meeting anywhere. You know, maybe he can't trust anybody. Like, maybe Sessions and some of these guys, he might have some issues trusting them as hardcore as we think they are, because they're all related to, you know, every single, what is it, the thing that Nick Spiro always goes on about, CMP, you know, like you, all these people are on the same circles too that he's not in. So maybe, you know, him and Ivanka are playing a game. Maybe she's his pivot for the left in the sense that she takes a lot of the burden of making his, you know, his appeal to women and all that easier and more in a better transition. And then she gets to act like she's this emotional counter to him somehow. But yeah, that's all a show, like everybody assumes him and Hillary were. In fact, he's just using her to absorb that, and they get along just fine. And maybe they're not this lefty thing. Maybe they're not this, you know, save the country. Who knows? We'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we got, you know, a few minutes left here. I want to cover the stuff coming up on September 23rd. And so let's do clip 8, Mr. Producer. Get that one queued up. This is 9:23:17 in 5 minutes, okay? And it's by a YouTuber called Parable of the Vineyard, okay? And this covers, people think that, you know, the pre-tribbers are thinking the rapture's coming sometime soon and so forth and so on. It's very wild to watch all these people speculate, but let's hit clip 8. This is 9:23:17 in 5 minutes.
On September 23rd, 2017, the sun, moon, and stars will align to fulfill a 2,000-year-old prophecy. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Before you click off this video, I understand there's been many false predictions, false prophecies over the years. This is different. Bear with me and see. First, you need to understand that God made the sun, moon, and stars, and they all obey his order. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in a season? So we see here that God himself says that he moved the constellations. They obey his ordained order. There's many more verses. Please pause the video to see them. They'll also be in the description. Okay, so we have the constellation Virgo clothed with the sun. And then, as you can see here, the moon is under her feet, and above her head is the 9 stars from the constellation Leo, plus the 3 planets that align perfectly. And to fulfill the birth prophecy, you have Jupiter that stays in the womb for 9 months. Absolute precision. Another thing you must realize is this is not astrology. This is the lost knowledge of biblical astronomy. Stick with me, and you'll see. Let's start at the beginning and see what God said. And let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Jesus himself said that when he returns, there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Think about this. If God wanted to speak to all his children across the entire earth and speak to them all at once in the same universal language, how would he do it? Look at Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. When Jesus was born, it was marked in the stars. The 3 wise men saw his star in the east and knew of it. What makes you think his second coming would be any different? Isn't this sign just the retelling of Jesus' birth? And didn't he say no man knows the day or the hour? We look at Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Revelation 1:1 shows us that the Father showed all things to Jesus when he ascended to the throne, and he showed us in the book of Revelation. Jesus himself, when he spoke to the churches, said that his believers, his followers, if they overcome and hold his words to the end, they would rule with a rod of iron. This is a very specific passage that connects Revelation 12 and a prophecy of what's going to happen for his believers. Alright, so are we just cherry-picking a couple verses and trying to put a prophecy behind it? Or is this found anywhere else in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Unfortunately, we will not be able to read all these verses. Please feel free to pause and take a look at each one of these coinciding verses, which are all pieces to this grand puzzle. Well, what does it all mean? No one knows exactly. What's very interesting is the language that is used in Revelation 12, where the child is caught up unto God. The word caught up is the Greek word harpazo. It's the same word used in Thessalonians when Paul describes the rapture. We are not saying this is what's going to happen, but it is certainly intriguing.
Okay, go ahead and stop that one there. Now, so you got people thinking this is tied into the pre-tribulation rapture. Like I was saying before, people are saying that they think that somehow with all of this crap coming our way, that this is, you know, the beginnings of the what they call the birth pangs. Everything will be in travail, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, let's look at a prophet. Like, let's say a prophet, the person that wrote this stuff 2,000 years ago saw all this. Does that necessarily mean that the people controlling the weather at the military level aren't going to be doing what they're doing? And you have to look at it like that. It's like, okay, just because some seer a couple thousand years ago saw what was going to be happening, like with the Mark of the Beast prophecy, which is the big one, everybody's worried about some sort of a mark into our flesh or whatever to control our buying and selling with transhumanism, computers, and all these things. It's a very fascinating thing. Your thoughts real quick, and then we'll play one more short segment. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, where do you begin with it? You got a lot to digest there. I remember growing up, they would say, you know, that the locusts and the fire were helicopters and missiles. And you can say, like, what you just said. If he's just looking, he's not telling you why the people are fighting and who started it, and that the devil, you know, assumed power at the throne, basically, to manipulate everybody into chaos. He didn't say that God was, you know, having his righteous justice upon them. It's just how karma works. You know, everybody sinks into depravity, and the devil is the righteous justice coming upon them. It's just how the things work.
Yeah.
So just because people, you know, are our own enemy in some ways, it doesn't mean that these aren't the times, I guess. Because, look, here's the thing. I said it's self-fulfilling for sure because they have a game plan with the Bible, but you got the stars. They don't control the stars. So, right. I mean, that kind of stuff you have to just watch and see.
Yeah, so Mr. Producer, now this next one is from a Prophetic Warning TV, okay? It's a big YouTube channel, 4.5 million views on this one. So let's hear where I told you to start at a certain part, Mr. Producer, and I wanted to skip past a bunch of kind of goofy stuff, but let's hear this. This one's very interesting. Go ahead and hit it.
Jerusalem. It is 3 in the morning on September 23rd, 2017. The first constellation in the great sign is rising above the horizon. This is Leo, the constellation of the royal lion. When the dawn breaks, we'll see that Leo is worn as a crown of royalty by the Virgin Princess. The lion forms the appropriate crown for her because she is of the house of David, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Significantly, this is the highest royal lineage of all the nations. This means the Virgin is also born of the lineage of the high scepter of the seed of Adam. In her belly is the second Adam, the Savior of the world. On this fateful day, the Virgin is clothed in the sun, and the moon is at her feet. Sunlight floods the sky, and since the Virgin is clothed in the sun, we cannot see her, so we turn off her artwork. But the prophecy clearly states that the great sign is to appear in the heaven. High noon approaches. Then, on this special day, the sun turns as black as sackcloth, and the stars quickly fill the sky. Just like on the day of the crucifixion, it will remain dark for an incredible 3 hours.
Pause it there, Mr. Producer. Pause it there for a second. Now, according to this person's channel, supposedly it's going to go dark for some time on 9/23 right there in Jerusalem, Pat. Were you aware of that? That's pretty wild.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah. So supposedly, just like on the crucifixion day in the Bible, over Jerusalem, it's going to go dark for 3 hours on this day, according to this and other YouTubers. Go ahead and resume it, Mr. Producer.
We stop the motion and zoom in. We fill the screen with our two constellations. To better see how the constellations are formed, we generate blue lines between their stars. Then we turn off the constellation artwork, leaving us with the lines of each constellation. We first turn our attention to the constellation of Leo. In Leo, the alpha or brightest star is Regulus, the regal king star. 8 additional bright stars are used to form the constellation. But this leaves us 3 stars short of the 12 stars prophesied to crown the Virgin. On this special day, 3 wandering stars are in rare formation within the boundaries of Leo. They are Venus, Mars, and Mercury. This gives us the prophesied 12 stars to form the crown. Now we move to Virgo. Her left hip is formed by the alpha star named Spica, which means the seed. Her right hip is formed by the zeta star named Hes, which means the branch. On this day, the Virgin is to give birth to the king planet between these 2 stars. Like all the planets, Jupiter, which images the Messiah, was misnamed and misdescribed by the Greeks. The king planet images the rescuing power of our Messiah. Because of this planet's gravitational strength, it takes countless hits or impacts for us from many of the dangerous objects that cross into the inner solar system. Also, the king planet has just spent 9 months in the belly of the Virgin, reinforcing the prophetic imagery of the scriptures. To illustrate this wonder, we will now run the clock backward for a year. Notice that the king planet stops and turns around twice in retrograde motion while in the belly of the Virgin. In turn, the moon flies by along the ecliptic every month. This action by the moon will give us a means to mark the passing of the months.
All right, go ahead and stop it there.
Our backward motion.
Because I wanted to kind of finish the show, and I wanted to just kind of give you guys a flavor of some of the prophetic kind of videos floating around out here, because some of them are saying that this has never happened in 2,000 years, and they try to trace back the astronomical charts, and look, these are using computer models, and I don't know how accurate this is, and so this could be this could be one big build up to another letdown, and I wanted to kind of get that out there, because we've had these build ups to letdowns with December 21st, 2012, with the Mayan calendar. Then we've had a couple of these people out on YouTube and the alternative media building us up to these dates, these 9/23 dates previously. Now this one looks like, hey, this is the big deal. This is the real deal. Or is this just another kind of psychological warfare operation being thrown at people to let down, like people in the Christian community, so forth and so on? So I wanted to kind of throw that out there. But, you know, your thoughts about these kind of things that bubble up into the psyche of people that do, you know, look around on YouTube and then, you know, these various websites and so forth.
It's the crying wolf, you know. It's,
yeah.
It's Peter Schiff syndrome, where Peter Schiff is right about everything, but he's wrong when gold is going down and he's the clock that's broken. You know, he's right twice a day because... Right. You know, he's right about everything when it comes to how the economy's supposed to run. He's wrong about why gold is ever valuable, and he's wrong about when the crash is coming. He just knows it's coming.
Yeah, so we've got about 10 minutes left till the end of the show. And so let's try to go through some of the things you wanted to cover. You wanted to talk about the latest PSYOP with the Syrian. Let's run through that real quick. So there was another chemical weapons release. Gordon Duff and others have footage of people painting themselves up to look like they were hit with gas, so forth and so on. So it looks like another attempted false flag against the president of Syria for using chemical weapons, et cetera, et cetera. While the Israelis are bombing the crap out of them, while the Russians and the Syrians were actually taking back what's called the monastery, Dar el-Azor in Syria, these big battles been going on. So what did you want to get out about that?
Well, I think you pretty much got it, but the only thing I would add is that Syria's also had a lot of big victories throughout the year, but even recently they've had 2 or 3, and they've gained a lot of cities back. Gordon Duff, the other thing I would add, also said that the media was given info and coordinates to report on these attacks ahead of time, indicating clearly premeditation and bull. You know, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, what's so horrible about the, you know, the what's been done to the Syrians? And, you know, what's crazy is to look at some of the Christian Zionists, and, you know, they zero in on that prophecy about Damascus being turned into a ruinous heap. And, you know, where it talks about them basically getting nuked. So, I mean, it's
dirty bomb.
Yeah. And, or it could be leveled by some sort of a tactical nuke. Who knows what? But,
talking about ISIS, probably, I would think.
Well, nobody's going to want to take responsibility. So, of course, they would want to throw it on the artificial boogeyman created.
Oh, they hack. They hack the weapon of God from America and drop it on Damascus.
The rod of God.
They hack it.
Yeah, so what else did we want to get through that you had in your notes?
Well, the ISIS dirty bombs in particular on drones that they've been talking about, I think this goes along with, like, a lot of the fear-mongering. Really, you know, you're talking about when I read a newspaper, I remember somebody said a while back that they read a different newspaper than other people, right? And I read ISIS dirty bombs on drones imminent, a.k.a., the FBI is going to now bomb citizens as a new norm, predicated by Obama bombing a citizen out of town, you know, with a drone. And it's going to be, they call them improvised chemical dispersion devices. So they're not IEDs, they're ICBDs.
Interesting.
See, there's your bioweapon again.
Right. Well, you know, I've been saying since
the balloons.
I've been saying since I went on the air that the bio angle to me is one of the ones where the enforcer class, as far as enforcing quarantine and so forth and so on, that one makes a lot of sense as a kind of a depopulation martial law scenario, because people are, you know, these guys that are wearing uniforms out here, they're really going to be worried about keeping the public safe from infected people, et cetera, et cetera. So enforcing a quarantine would be a really, powerful way to keep everybody, you know, on the same page as far as chain of command and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Producer, I wanted to ask you something. Before, instead of playing the song to end the show, I want you to do clip 11 to end the show with, all right? Since it's now September 11th, 2017, instead of finishing the show with a song, I want you to play clip 11, which is called 9/11 Never Forget. And it's about some of the characters that pulled the operation. But go ahead, Pat.
I did want to cap it off at some point, like we said, with all of this terrible news. I mean, honestly, we've been going at this thing rapid fire, nonstop, and it's been we still have so much more to get through, and we're not going to. And it's all been extremely negative. But one good thing is DuckDuckGo sees a rise in usership versus Google censorship. So I'm okay with, you know, all these victories and solutions making their way through the process.
Oh, well, you know, just to cover, you know, the reason why in the last couple of weeks I've been covering this onslaught is because I feel the acceleration is due to the fact that it could be all on a timeline that was pre-scripted, but it also could be acting because there is – let's just say movement out here on the spiritual intellectual level, where people are figuring out that, number one, the media is fake. Number two, that the Republican Party is full of jerks, just like the Democrat. Yeah. And so one thing about Trump and the rise of Trump, it really has shown a lot of the moron level kind of patriotards that, hey, you got as many snakes in the Republican Party as you do in the Democratic Party. And there's really a kind of a war right now by the American base against the neocon rhino kind of Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell types. I mean, these guys are
The whole country's in an identity crisis.
Yeah.
And I think that is great. Like, even if this isn't the end of the world, because it feels like it, maybe it's just like you said, the enemies see good on the rise. So now it's just all or nothing for them. They don't care what they're doing. They're throwing us the prophecy. They're throwing the kitchen sink.
And you know, you don't like people being thrown at the as Marxism as the answer. Okay, like, there's so many kids that have been sucked into the feel the burn garbage. That's a bummer. You know, at least a lot of them saw through the Clintons, but at the same time, their antidote for the problem, they think it's socialism.
Well, you heard Robin Hood, Bernie, on that clip being the most emphatic about Trump's cruelty.
Some people, I was listening to a show yesterday, and they were really hitting it. It was like, this political class cares more about people that are not citizens than they do about people that are actual citizens. So just as the tools of the state have been turned inward to look at the citizen as a belligerent, as an adversary and on a war footing, our political class is really showing their colors. Hey, we look at our own citizens with disdain. They care about these people that are non-citizens more. And just like these sickos in Europe, the Catholic prelates, of course, the Jewish organizations, but even these self-hating, suicidal, butch haircut white women in the German parliament and so forth, these loons, they hate their own people to where they're celebrating their own demographic suicides.
Yeah. And that's the thing, really, right, that we were really the EU the whole time, and it was a facade, like we were patriots, and we didn't realize we've been selling out for a long time. And also, are we gonna cover Toys R Us or Equifax?
Equifax. We got about another minute. Equifax. What, half the country's population has their personal information been hacked?
If the next collapse is coming, it feels like it's coming in a hurry right now, because you got every excuse there could possibly be between natural weather disasters, political tumult, and everything on with ISIS. Now you got Equifax hacks. You got Toys R Us and major companies falling off the charts now. They're all getting bankruptcy lawyers. You know that the tech sector's been consolidating with Toshiba and all that madness going on, because hardware is cheap now, so they don't need all these extra companies. There's going to be a lot of consolidation. Amazon's taking over the world by monopolizing retail, like they're Walmart of the internet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, well, look at the Dragonfly 2.0 grid down hackers. At the same time, Equifax
gets hacked. That goes in with the Vault 7, the data dumps, all that stuff that's been building up for years now since Edward Snowden hit the scene. All that stuff has been manifesting to this Equifax hacks. And this is the greatest consumer privacy dispersal in history. And to who? I don't know. Israel, China, cyber predators related to Vault 7 and past leaks that have been mounting up with viruses and stuff that's been going on. And this is, again, Trump and Obama's cyber censorship legacy.
Yeah, so we're coming at the top of the hour here. Let's see. I think we covered a lot. Operation Black Sky, EarthX, crazy. We covered this wet surface air coolers angle, and not a lot of people on radio I haven't heard cover it, and so I wanted to bring Pat on so we could roll through this basically land, sea, and air-based geoengineering systems, but to really look at our power plants, both nuclear